Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome, everybody, to the CFB All-America Podcast. My name is Brian Driscoll. I'm not Bill Trotri in different clothing or with a different hairdo. I'm Brian Driscoll, the publisher at IrishBreakdown.com. That, you all know, that's Bill Bender of the Sporting News or Sporting News. And, Bill, they just released the college football playoff rankings. And I got to tell you, it was a lot of surprises in this week's rankings. So let's just kind of dive right in. And I think the biggest surprise of the rankings to me was Clemson. So let's talk about the Clemson Tigers and whether or not Clemson deserves to be ranked higher, or are they where they need to be? And then we'll talk about a potential path forward for the Tigers to still make the playoffs. So, Bill, Clemson, deserve to be higher, lower, or are they right where they need to be?
I would have them at 7 instead of 8. I think they should be ranked ahead of Alabama based on their 10-1. They really getting penalized for the Notre Dame loss, but as we'll get into here in a few minutes, Notre Dame's actually the center of a lot of these things. A lot of the playoff cases for and against Notre Dame's going to be a conversation in that room. I would have them 7. I have no objection to them. I don't have them over USC. We could talk about LSU if you want, but 7 would be the right number for me.
I'm comfortable with USC right now being ahead of Clemson. I think I'm comfortable with that just because of they do have a big win. Their loss was to a team ranked one spot ahead of Notre Dame on the road by a point. And I think last week I'd have had Clemson ahead of USC because the resume was better. But the win over UCLA to me now all of a sudden gives USC a second really quality win, with the other being a road game at Oregon State that I think is a really quality football team this year. But I think ahead of Bama for sure. Absolutely, they need to be. And I think the thing that I took away from this, Bill, is they seem to be, as a committee, putting more stock in losses than they are wins. Because I think when you look at Clemson's wins and their resume of wins, I think they're a lot more impressive eye test-wise and schedule-wise than what Bama's resume is at 9-2 with two very competitive losses. But what are the wins that Alabama's hanging their hat on right now at this point in time compared to a team like Clemson?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think we're wasting our time with Alabama, honestly, because they're not getting in. There's no conceivable path for them to get in unless there's, even with the mass chaos scenario, they're not getting in. They lost two games. I think you've got to bump them behind Clemson. I think Clemson, it's interesting you say that because their wins, remember that stretch when they beat NC State and Wake, mm-hmm. and you know there's somebody else in there that they beat
Florida
in a row.
State.
They knocked them all. Syracuse, and Florida State,
and
all
Florida
in
State,
a row.
Right.
Right, and Florida State wasn't ranked at the time, but has been on a tear ever since. That's not a bad stretch by the Tigers, mm-hmm. and then it all went away when it got clobbered by Notre Dame mm-hmm. on the road. At least they played the game. So the interesting part, and you talked about their playoff path forward, is this week South Carolina coming off just a destruction of Tennessee and knocking them out, and then a potential ACC championship game. One of the things that was weird to me is they were talking about on the telecast was this North Carolina game's been diminished. Okay, maybe a little. If North Carolina loses to NC State, maybe a lot, but still a pretty good team with a good quarterback, could be a good show. And you know what's coming next? Dabo is going to start politicking as soon as they win this week, and he's going to. And I think he's going to run a negative campaign towards some certain Big Ten, a certain team that loses a game this weekend in Columbus. That's yes. my not so bold prediction because it's what's going to happen.
There's another one he's going to start lobbying against before the title games, and that's, I think, LSU. And that's an interesting mm-hmm. aspect to this as well. I think that this past weekend was great for Clemson, in my opinion. Because, yes, it hurt that North Carolina lost. But the fact that South Carolina spanked Tennessee was huge for them. Because, number one, it puts Tennessee out. Tennessee was ahead of them. And you're looking at Tennessee's right. schedule and you're saying South Carolina and Vanderbilt, they're probably going 11-1, and I don't see a path for Clemson to pass them. That's what we talked about last week. Now Tennessee's out, and the team that smacked them comes to your place this weekend. Where now you put a convincing victory over South Carolina, and now all of a sudden your resume takes a huge hit. So maybe North Carolina takes a little step back, but South Carolina now becomes a much better win after what they just did to Tennessee this past weekend. So I actually think this weekend on the whole was a positive for them, especially with the tear that Florida State is on. Because if you look at Florida State's tear, Bill, that tear started after they lost to Clemson. I mean, their last loss was to Clemson. They have won 41-16, 45-3, 38-3, and 49-17 since they lost to Clemson.
How would you rank them 6 through 10?
For me, the top four I'm totally comfortable with. I would flip TCU and Michigan, but it really doesn't matter. Because if Michigan beats Ohio State, they would flip, they would pass TCU, and if they lose, they'll fall behind. So it really doesn't matter. I would have USC number 5, and I'd have Clemson number 6. I'd have LSU number 7. And the reason that I would have LSU number 7 is, number one, LSU has an equally bad loss. The difference is LSU lost to number 10 at home by 27. Clemson lost on the road to number 15 by 21, right? So closer game, lower ranked team by only 5, but on the road as compared to losing at home. And they have a comparable opponent. They have one common opponent.
Right. And I know what you're
going to
say.
Florida State outplayed LSU if you want to talk about game control, the game control for Florida State was they controlled the entire game. And if you look at the Clemson LSU game, and you want to talk about how that game, Clemson Florida State game, you know, the final score was 34-28, but it wasn't that close of a game. I mean, Clemson was all over them. They were up. Ended up, like I said, the final score ended up being 34-28. At one point in time in the third quarter, it was 34-14. You know, Florida State scored the last two touchdowns of the game. So And then you talk about the wins, and the Wake Forest game lost some steam. The Syracuse game lost some steam. But now Louisville's back in the top 25.
Right.
So you have a win over number 25 Louisville that you did just 2 weeks ago in a game that you controlled the action from the start. And then, of course, you have a win over Florida State, who, another game you controlled really, you know, for most of the game, who's now number 16.
Right. Yeah, the Florida State factor is totally right. So I think what it comes down to for me, Brian, is you can really pare this thing down to six. I'm going to operate under the assumption that Georgia's going to beat LSU and solve that problem. Mm-hmm. And we've decided that Alabama's out. So what it really comes down to with Clemson is really they do need USC to lose. They need that, or TCU. They need one of them to lose to open that door, because then it comes down to the other one. The argument that we're going to get into now is this Michigan-Ohio State loser. Should they be still ranked ahead of Clemson when the road's over? And I think it's going to lead to, like I said, some nasty politics that Michigan, I don't know, can win this one. Ohio State, Clemson would be an unbelievable argument because of who we talk about, because of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Bill. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you're the Big Ten and you're hoping to get two teams in, I believe that the Big Ten fans who want two teams in should be rooting for Michigan to beat Ohio State in a close game. Because I think Ohio State's overall resume would look a lot better with their loss than Michigan's. Because Michigan's hanging their resume entirely on Penn State, which I think is a weak resume. Whereas Ohio State can hang their hat on also beating Penn State at Penn State. But then if Notre Dame, they should be rooting for two things. One is obviously Michigan to beat Ohio State in a close game. And number two, for Notre Dame to go out there and spank USC. Because number one, it knocks out the one loss Pac-12 team. Now the Pac-12's out. Number two, now all of a sudden that win by Ohio State over Notre Dame, who then would be a borderline top 10 team, would also have a win over Clemson. All of a sudden, Ohio State has a resume that you can make a much stronger case for, in my opinion, than you could for Michigan, whose resume is much weaker.
I think Michigan is a better team than their resume, if that makes sense. Their resume is what it is. It's not great. They're going to harp on this non-conference schedule of when they played a glorified preseason against Colorado State and Hawaii and UConn, who actually went to a bowl game, so that looks better. I think Michigan winning at Iowa was better than people think at the time. I think Michigan beating a decent Illinois team is an okay win. That's a comparable win to Wake Forest, to me, like beating Illinois, sort of. Wake Forest wasn't very – that's about the same. So, I mean, if you're the Big Ten, you want both. You want Michigan to win like 31-28. You want it to be this unbelievable game. Maybe they're – I don't even think you want controversy. I think you want like a walk-off field goal or overtime or something.
Whoever now has the ball last wins kind of thing, right?
Because the Michigan-Clemson argument to me, Clemson, if they take care of business, beat South Carolina, beat North Carolina, Dabo starts politicking, which he will, and can we get a Dabo versus Harbaugh staring contest? Maybe they just have that. Like whoever stares the other person down longer, you go to the playoff. And Ohio State-Clemson, though – would get particularly nasty because they already don't like each other. They have a playoff history. Ohio State fans living in Central Ohio, I can tell you firsthand, I think their ranking of coaches they can't stand, Dabo's probably two.
Yes.
Behind Jim.
Yes.
It's Jim and then it's Dabo. And they reveled in that blowout a couple years ago when Justin Fields blew them out. And, that would get particularly nasty because you know what Dabo is going to do. Yeah, we won the conference. I can't do his accent. I'm not going to try. But, you know, we won the ACC. We, you know, I don't know what we're doing if we can't go 12-1 and can't get the playoff. Mm-hmm. You know, UConn was really tough. And, you know, Notre Dame was a different team in South Bend. All those things are going to happen. So you're right. I think you're rooting for Michigan to win. The problem is I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
I think Ohio State's going to win that game. And then you're left with Ohio State, TCU, USC, Georgia, and Clemson probably left out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
If TCU wins, man, I don't know, Brian. What do you think?
If TCU wins out, I mean, I think they're obviously in. There's a no.
Are they going to win out though? Could they?
But see, here's what makes the Big 12 tough, and this is why I've always had a lot more respect for the Big 12. There's two reasons I've always respected the Big 12, and I think this year, in my opinion, it's the deepest conference in college football. With the exception of Iowa State, every team in the Big 12 has proven they can beat a good team in the Big 12 on any Saturday, except for one, and that's TCU. But also, you can't win a Big 12 championship without winning a rematch.
Right.
I think that adds to it, and that makes it challenging. So, you know, do you go out and play at Kansas State? Well, what if you lose by a field goal? You look at their resume, and all of a sudden they've got a win over Kansas State and then a loss to Kansas State on a neutral field. You know, but then you start looking at the Big 12 because of what happened to Oklahoma State. Now, all of a sudden, the Big 12 resume is not looking as strong because they've all beat each other up.
Right.
You know, they all did very well out of conference, but in conference, they beat each other up. And so I think that really hurt. TCU's resume has taken a beating the last few weeks because of just how much these teams are beating each other up. That's what I think's hurting TCU.
Okay, rank these three for me, too. Most likely to lose their next two games, one of their next two games, TCU, USC, Clemson.
Clemson's third for me. I would say
so most likely they're most likely to go 2-0.
Yes, most likely to go 2-0.
Okay.
I'd say TCU number one, USC number two, just because I think USC plays a better opponent. It's at home, but I think USC plays a better opponent. And I think
the Trojans are the most likely team to me
most,
to lose.
I'm going to move. Yes, USC number one. USC is the team most likely to lose because they have a two-game gauntlet. And this is also why I believe if USC wins out, they are a no-brainer in the playoffs.
It's a
no-brainer.
Like, no discussion. Yeah, they're in. So I think they're most likely to lose, whether it be this weekend against a Notre Dame team that can run the ball and expose their run defense, or if they catch Oregon, I think Oregon's straight up the better team.
That's a bad matchup for USC, in my opinion.
Awful matchup for USC.
Because they can score with them, and they have a better defense.
Right. So I think they are most likely to lose, which means you're going to get Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. TCU, I like their chances. I think they're going to be that fly in the ointment that they're this year's team that everybody hates for getting in, even though they're a great story and everything that Sonny Dykes has done has been amazing. Their strength of schedule, like you said, better than most teams. I'm cool with that. I mean, you're going to get a high state in them in the Fiesta Bowl, and then Clemson or Michigan.
Right.
Have fun. I mean, like, that's what it's going to be. And I think the more I think about it, the more you kind of listen to the ESPN and you start to read Twitter and, you know, how our opinions change from week to week, the more I see it, the more I think if you're a Michigan fan, you're probably rooting for South Carolina pretty hard. Or an Ohio State fan. Even an Ohio State fan.
Or North Carolina.
Right, yeah. Like you need Clemson. You actually need two of TCU and USC Clemson to lose. And you probably didn't need that 2 weeks ago, but you do now.
I think Michigan needs a lot more help than if they lose, than maybe what is being led to nationally with a lot of the stuff that you hear on ESPN and different things. And I think they're starting to come around to the idea that Michigan needs help.
I agree.
Know, where a couple weeks ago is, oh, the loser of that game, if it's close, is going to be in. I just don't think – here's the thing, like when you look at Clemson, for example. Clemson in their non-conference, if they go 12-1 and Michigan goes 11-1, look, Michigan can't control that the Big Ten is down this year. They can't control that Michigan State took a step back. They can't control that Iowa's has an offense that keeps them from winning more games because they have Iowa has a defense that should be of a 10-win team. Right. If not an 11-win team in the West, but they have an offense of a 2-10 team. I mean, that's kind of where Iowa is. They can't control that, but they can control, just like, you know, Clemson can't control if the ACC is good or bad. So what Clemson does is they play non-conference at Notre Dame and South Carolina, an SEC team in Notre Dame, whereas Michigan went out and scheduled Hawaii, UConn, and Colorado State. Right. And I think the committee almost has to hold that against them. Otherwise, they're going to set a horrible precedent for right. – Why would you schedule anyone out of conference if you can just lose just only one game in your conference as long as you win in your non-conference against I mean, we're talking – those are three not very good teams. Although UConn is now turning out to be one of Michigan's better wins if you look at the record-wise. But that also speaks against Michigan's resume as well, in that the team that has the fourth – that's tied for fourth most wins on your resume is UConn.
Yeah, and that's going to
hurt. Hurts their resume.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So – Well, and, you know, with you guys at Irish Breakdown, we wanted to mention this week that Notre Dame is the center of the all these arguments in the playoff, mm-hmm. even if they're not going to go to the playoff. It is interesting to me that four of the teams are directly, five of them are kind of in either indirectly or directly in the top 10 affected by Notre Dame. Ohio State beat them. USC plays them this week. Clemson got crushed by them. I would say Michigan not having them on the schedule when that's probably of all these teams other than USC, the most traditional rival, not having them. And then of course, Notre Dame fans monitoring very closely their old coach, Brian Kelly, at number six. So, I mean, you guys literally are the center. Notre Dame's going to be a factor in the playoff. And, you know, the way that they've played, and they've got to be kicking themselves about that Marshall game because
Stanford game. The Stanford game is the one. That's the one.
That's the one.
Because Marshall happened so early. It happened so early that if they went on a run that included wins over North Carolina, BYU, U.S. Clemson, USC, you're now looking at a team that's now won 10 games in a row. You're going to kind of give them a pass like we saw with USC back in 2016 when they started 1-3, made a quarterback change, got hot, and then ended the year in the top 10, right? Because they won out. It was USC, though, their third loss happened in week 4. Notre Dame's happened in week 7 to a bad team. Right. And so I think if you take the Stanford game out, you're talking about a team that won their final 10 games. They're a no-brainer top 10 team and in the New Year's 6 to your point. Now, you could say Marshall, too, but I still feel like you always want to lose early. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. The way the committee says, we look at the entire resume. No, they don't. They put a lot more in late October, November games than they do September games. Otherwise, you'd make a case that TCU should have been in 2014, not Ohio State. Ohio State was clearly one of the four best teams in the country in November. But that's also a team that lost by 2 touchdowns at home in September to a Virginia Tech team by 2 that went 7-6 by 2 touchdowns. So I think that would be the thing for me. But now you're sitting here, you're not going to be in the playoff. But as you said, Bill, the opportunity that Notre Dame has as a program in Marcus Freeman's first year is to say, we didn't make the playoff, but we determined who made the playoff.
Right. And we had and next year, the good thing, one of my Notre Dame buddies pointed out to me, it's a great thing that they're playing Ohio State in week 4 or 3. It's not week 1. So they can get themselves under their feet under them, go to South Bend, play that game instead of week 1. Maybe, I don't know. Well, that's a long way off. Yeah. But, you know, and it's interesting you were talking about early loss, late loss. I wrote a big article for Sporting News this week about Michigan, Ohio State, and this notion of, talk to Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer, some others about, when the Big Ten brings in UCLA and USC, and if they really do get away with doing away with divisions, could these teams handle playing? And take USC Notre Dame, for example, could you handle playing them then playing them 7 days later? That's dangerous with this rivalry. I think it's going to water down the rivalry for sure. I do because it's kind of like I'm cool with them playing in the playoff if it happens, but seeing it back to back, I'm like, this game has to have some consequences in the regular season, or would you consider moving it up, which everybody says, everybody and their brother and sister that talks about that rivalry up here, they don't want it moved off this weekend. Right. So there's some things to be said with that, because you know, like I said, we do this exercise every week on this podcast where Bill Troche does a nice job with this, and I hope these are correct. So let's talk about that 12 team playoff. Yeah. If we were doing it, here's the matchup.
If you're wrong, Bill, you have the same wrongs that I have. So I wrote down my 12 as well, and we do have the same.
Let's go through these pods real quick like we do and see, like, do we like it or not? So Georgia would be the one seed, and they would play the winner of Clemson and Oregon. Do we like that pod? You're going to get a Georgia, probably Oregon matchup there, and that's a rematch of – a blowout. That's what people want.
or Clemson wins and you've got a matchup of two recent champions, you know, Southeastern ACC versus SEC, that type of thing. So I think the rematch angle can work if it's out of conference. I do.
Right.
Where's Oregon at now? They're in game 14 of the Dan Lanning era. That's not the pupil gets another shot at the master, and he's learned a lot. You can make some storylines with that.
USC at number four playing the winner of Michigan and Tulane/UCF. Did I get that one right? I think Tulane's the highest ranked team right now. So we're
right now it's Tulane, and it'll most likely be, Tulane, Cincinnati, or UCF in that order of the Navy loss.
So instead of Michigan USC at the Rose Bowl in what used to be the greatest Big Ten Pac-12 game is now a consolation game, you get USC and Michigan out at the Coliseum instead of the Rose Bowl. I'm watching that. That would be awesome.
So would the quarters be also at home on home fields?
No. Quarterfinals?
Okay. So where would that, that would be in a neutral field, correct?
I think so. I think so as of now, but this is what they need to change it. They need to make the quarters. These are the last home games they need to do. So go down to Ohio State playing the winner of Alabama and Tennessee without Hendon Hooker. So that's probably going to be Ohio State and Alabama, unfortunately. And Hendon Hooker, by the way, I hope he's a Heisman finalist. I hate that he got hurt. The loss is the loss that happens.
Reminds me of Dennis Dixon. Remember when he got hurt late in 2007 when the Oregon team was really steaming towards a title run, and then he gets hurt and they lose reminded me of that.
That's exactly right. And then TCU versus the winner of LSU and Penn State, who,
by far the worst pod right there.
Oh, Penn State's not a playoff team to me.
Nope.
I've seen them get drilled twice there. And that's why Bill and I have this argument every week. It's like, to me, you bring up a good point about rematches, but to me, compress this thing to 8 and we have the truth.
Yeah.
Like the 9-12 part is if you're telling me I'm going to get excited about LSU and Penn State, Sean Clifford versus Jaden Daniels for the right to play Max Duggan, you're stretching a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I do. I think TCU at least plays a fun brand.
Yeah.
But that quarterfinal game would be dull. It's two teams that are, to me, ranked higher than they should be. I think the same thing about LSU. The reason I like 12 over 8 is simply because it gives you the ability to where you do have that year where a USC, for whatever reason, comes out of the gate not good, makes a quarterback change, and by the end of 2016, nobody wanted to play USC. Nobody. Right. By the end of 2016. They would have been, I think, a 9 seed that year, but that's a 9 seed that could have done some damage. So even as an 8 seed that year, they still don't get in because even as an 8, you're going to have Tulane as an 8 now instead of a 12.
Right.
So I do like that, but it's just rank them appropriately, and this is where you kind of get into, if you're Notre Dame, you talked about Notre Dame earlier. This is where you're kicking yourself for the Stanford game because you're in there and Penn State's out.
Right.
And now all of a sudden a Notre Dame team with 10 straight wins that has beaten USC and Clemson, you're looking at them saying, hey, this is an interesting matchup. And then you'd have them against LSU and the winner plays TCU. That would be a far more entertaining.
I might even consider a 9-3 Notre Dame over this Penn State team. Because
depending on what they do to USC, I think you could be correct. I do.
Right. They could bump. They've got a chance to do some things there. So, well, is there anything I'm leaving out? I know we got our preview podcast.
I think you and Bill tomorrow are going to have a preview of the huge games this weekend.
But you have a thought. I interrupted it.
Well, yeah, my thought was I think Penn State is that bracket right there, that matchup between LSU and Penn State, to me, is the epitome of what's wrong with this version of the committee. Because both of those teams are being pumped up by their losses, not necessarily their wins. I mean, LSU has a nice win over Alabama by a point, but they're ranked ahead of a team that also beat Bama, but beat them by 27, and they have an identical record. So you're looking at but what's different? Well, South Carolina has a worse loss. Yeah, but was their loss any worse than what Tennessee did to LSU, right? And so I think the same thing with Penn State, to your point, is Penn State at 11 makes no sense because what's their resume built on? Good losses. Your resume shouldn't be built on good losses. Kansas State at 12 is another example. Penn State loses to Michigan State this weekend, and we're looking at that ranking right there, Bill, and we're talking about Kansas State being in there,
right
where the ranking is now. They're 0-3 against top 25 teams. Their resume is built entirely on three really good losses, and they're ranked ahead of Notre Dame with an identical record. Why? Because Notre Dame has two bad losses. But Notre Dame's wins are significantly better than anything Kansas State has done. And I think that's probably, along with inconsistent application of their code, of their rules, has been the biggest issue I've had with this year's committee, because they're not applying things. You can't hold the bad loss against Clemson, but then not hold a bad loss against LSU.
And that's a very fair point. And they may be doing that the next – well, Penn State's case is built on a victory – over soon to be MAC champion Ohio University.
There you go.
September. That's true. What they're. And
they should be high. They should be a nine seed then. Now that I think about it.
Oh, you should be. Maybe Ohio should be the nine seed. No,
there you go.
No, you're right. And as they apply this forward, that's going to be, you know, like I said, my bold prediction. They're not even bold predictions. It's common. I mean, the Clemson politicking is coming. The loser of the Michigan Ohio State game, because this isn't like 06. Where Lloyd Carr didn't really say anything, and then all of a sudden the Urban Meyer got in the championship. Harbaugh will say stuff. Yeah. Ryan Day will say stuff. They're not going to because this is still part of your job as a CEO, as a college football coach, is you've got to politic a little bit. And
sure,
it's common. I always go back to, not to make this go too long, remember the year that Ohio State and Wisconsin played in the Big Ten championship game. And as soon as that was over, I just remember Scott Van Pelt's on ESPN and Nick Saban's on the phone politicking for his team, and they won that one. So it's coming. But like you said, we'll have a full show tomorrow on rivalry.
And that, week. Bill, is where Dabo is at his best. Dabo's at his best when he gets to play the disrespect card. And that's why I kind of feel bad for South Carolina this weekend and North Carolina the weekend after. Because you don't want to play a Dabo coach team when he gets to do the Roy thing. You know what I mean? When he gets to play the disrespect card. That's not a good – and it's been a long time since this team has been in that position. Right. You know, they were the team in 2017. People are like, hold on, how are they the number one seed when they lost to Syracuse? You know, like they were getting you're complaining about nobody respecting you. Dude, you're getting plenty of respect, right? It's been a long time since Clemson was the underdog, and Dabo is going to – he's like a politician that's like in that final heat, you know, before election day, and he is going to go in full.
He will absolutely do that. And you're right. I mean, if they win convincingly, I can see it. You can see it a mile away. It's kind of like how I could see USC coming with the Lincoln Riley run that they're patented that Notre Dame can spoil. So a lot to be settled. But I'm excited to see what happens this week. And I'll be in Columbus, as you know, and we'll recruit real, you know, I'm right up the road. So got to get up bright and early for that one. It should be good. I am genuinely excited for it.
It's going to be a great weekend of college football.
It's good. So why don't you do the walk-off promo? Because Bill normally does those.
Yes.
And I'm not good at them. So
I think I can handle it.
Why don't you bring us home? I'm going to let you bring us home.
Before we get out of here, everybody, please, if you're watching via YouTube, give us a like, please, and subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed to the CFB Nation channel. If you're listening via podcast form, we'd love it if you give us a 5-star review, and make sure that you are subscribed to the CFB Nation channel on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find it on the Blue Wire Network, and that'll give you the links to all of our shows and all of that type of thing. And of course, Bill will be back tomorrow to preview what is going to be an entertaining weekend of college football. And the great thing about Thanksgiving weekend is the big boy college football season weekend starts on Thursday. So we have great games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as we get ready into championship weekend. So for Bill Bender, I'm Brian Driscoll. We'll talk to you again soon on the CFB Nation podcast, CFB All-America podcast. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.